Friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 28, beginning with verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied and bring back the vessels of the Lord's house. And may he bring back all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, listen now to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people, the prophets from ancient times who came before you and me, prophesied war, famine, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, only when the word of that prophet actually happens will that prophet become known as someone whom the Lord has truly sent." This is the word of God. Friends in Christ, what do parents say when children ask, "Why not? Why can't I stay out so late? Why can't I go out tonight? Why can't I do this or that? Why can't I have a snack 10 minutes before dinner?" Parents, you ever use this line? "Because I said so." Anyone use that line? Okay. We don't have to yet. He doesn't know the word "why." Don't tell him the word "why." It was very similar to a very common answer when confirmation students don't know something. "Because God said so." And pastors hear that often in confirmation class because confirmation students may not know all of the answers. But really, as it turns out, we learn from the lesson in Jeremiah, "because God said so" isn't that bad of an answer. I encourage you to flip through your catechism if you haven't this afternoon and go find that answer. And if you can't, at least note all the Bible passages between each question and answer in those, maybe those neon blue, those light blue catechisms. We have new ones that are color-coded. Definitely worth your time to see how many times God said so. And it makes a lot of sense because God has the benefit of being ultimately benevolent. In other words, God always knows what's best for us. And some questions in the Bible, the only answer is because God said so. Either because we can't possibly fathom why. We're just too small and too insignificant and we'll never be smart enough. Or because we just need to hear this. Because God said so. Because parents, if you didn't say "because I said so," the fact of the matter is, if you tried to explain it, oftentimes children with their lack of experience wouldn't understand it. Or they wouldn't like the explanation anyway and they'd argue back. Depending on the attitude of the child. You know your child. So today, as we hear these words from Jeremiah, as we see the setting of the stage, it's really important to understand that's Jeremiah's baseline, because God said so. But you and I might ask another question as a follow-up. How do we know the message is from God? How do we know? And we have two parts today to help guide us through it. Is it the appealing religious message or is it the revealing religious message? Verse 5 says, "Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord." Pretty big setup, right? And again, we kind of tear these words out of their original setting. But if you go back into the book of Jeremiah, you can see exactly when this happens. To start with, Jeremiah was born roughly 652 to 647 BC, somewhere in there. He started to prophesy when good King Josiah was king of Judah and Jerusalem around 627 BC. Notice we're counting down because this is before Christ, so that's how you go forward in time. You count downwards. Sadly, good King Josiah died, and it was an awful event. If you want to read how awful, go find the book of Lamentations, and you'll see what Jeremiah has to say then. And in 609, a new king took over. His name was Jehoiakim. And during his reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, far-off country, attained power, conquered the known world, and actually attacked and conquered Jerusalem. And he let Jehoiakim remain king for a while, until roughly 597 BC, when he set up a new king, because he was tired of Jehoiakim. New king's name was Jehoiakim. He only lasted 3 months until Nebuchadnezzar got tired of him. And his uncle was made king, his uncle Zedekiah. None of these kings really liked what Jeremiah had to say through all of this since the death of Josiah. And the reason I tell you all this is so that you know we can pinpoint exactly when this happened. It was in the fourth year of Zedekiah. We find that out earlier in the chapter, in chapter 28 of this book. Jeremiah is there to prophesy, but someone else is there too to prophesy as a prophet of the Lord. His name, so he said, prophet of the Lord, his name was Hananiah. He was from Gibeon. He also spoke in the presence of these people and before God, in the house of God. He was explaining that things were going to get better. Now, this was different than what Jeremiah had been saying. Hananiah was saying things are going to get better in 2 years. Guess what's going to happen? All those captives, all the brightest and best people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were coming back. All of the vessels and nice things in the temple that they took, our house of worship, those things are coming back from Babylon. It's just going to be 2 years. That's what Hananiah was saying. Oh, and we're also told one more thing about Hananiah. He was a false prophet. This is the problem for us. We've got two prophets, Jeremiah and Hananiah, with conflicting truth claims. They can't both be true at the same time. One is saying, this is a 70-year exile, this Babylonian captivity. The other is saying, in 2 years, everyone's coming back. Every day will be a Friday, your best life now. Which one was right? How can you tell which message is from God? Of course, it's easy for you and me to look back and say, wait, there's a book called Jeremiah. There's no book in the Bible called Hananiah. So Jeremiah is obviously the true prophet. Even says Hananiah is the false prophet. But what if you were living through this time? How would you know which prophet was correct? Now, you have to admit, if you were living through this time, all the brightest and best people in your city and nation were carried off into Babylonian exile, if your center of worship had been looted and all of the nice fancy things were taken away, all these important things, important to you, important to God, if rumors of destruction and war were still lingering and there was still the threat of a king in control by the name of Nebuchadnezzar who could pull strings in Jerusalem, you'd like to hear an appealing message too. You'd like God to say something nice that comes next too. In fact, Jeremiah really wanted what Hananiah was saying to come true. Did you hear that? He said, Amen. Verse 6, may the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied and bring back the vessels of the Lord's house, and may he bring back all the exiles from Babylon to this place. But that doesn't make it a message from God. Jeremiah had to oppose this fine-sounding, appealing message and say, well, I guess in our terms we would say, this is fake news. He starts to oppose it with verse 7. Nevertheless, listen now to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. You know, many religious messages are appealing. Appealing to what? Appealing to our humanity. Appealing to our emotions. Appealing to our sinful nature. Even appealing to our intellect. Looting, rioting, racism, hate, lies, fights, and abuse. All these things can be presented in such a way that they take on a certain amount of appeal, can't they? You could find a way to excuse all of these sins, but each of them breaks God's law and burdens us with guilt, a crime for which God reserves eternal punishment, death, by reason of, well, all of God's law. No matter how appealing a message might be to our emotions, it doesn't make it right. No matter how appealing a message is to our human side, our sinful nature, even to our intellect, that doesn't mean that it's a message from God, does it? Jeremiah and Hannah and I were saying the exact opposite. One of these was a real positive preacher. Every day of Friday, your best life now. Another guy was a real downer. Inevitabilities. Death and taxes. Things are going to get worse before they get better for a generation. But how could the people tell which one was a message from God? Now, what about historical precedent? What if one of these prophets had the weight of history behind him? And that's what we get with Jeremiah. He says, the prophets from ancient times who came before you and me prophesied war, famine, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. Yes, Jeremiah was suggesting he had history on his side. Prophets like Elijah, Isaiah, Samuel, even Moses said there were things like war and disaster and plague. They had predicted, and it had come true, disastrous things, awful things. That involved people nearby, people in Judah, the Philistines, as well as people far off, Assyrians and Cushites and Egyptians. It involved, in some of these catalogs of nations that get cursed and who receive punishment, predictions of future punishment, Israel and Judah. They made their place on the list of condemned nations in the book of Isaiah. And what was reserved for them was war, disaster, plague, unappealing. But is the weight of history something that tells you it's true or not? Surely Hananiah could say, well, there are false prophets who say bad things are going to happen, and there are faithful prophets who proclaim glad tidings. So the weight of history alone doesn't make a message true. Do theatrics make a prophecy come true? Another thing we don't see in this context is the whole time that Jeremiah is preaching, he's got this wooden yoke or bar over his shoulders, like an ox pulling a cart. Because his message, it's really an object lesson or like a children's message. He's illustrating to the people that this is like Nebuchadnezzar's power over us, and it's going to remain. This is a 70-year exile from 605 until the 530s. This is going to be reality. Does that kind of theatrics make something true? Well, I don't think Jeremiah ever said it did. In fact, the other side had his own theatrics. He pulled that wooden bar off of Jeremiah and broke it and said, this is what Nebuchadnezzar's power is like. It's broken, and in 2 years, we get everybody back. So no, theatrics don't necessarily make a message true. What really makes a message true, the only thing that makes a prophecy true, is, you're not going to like this, is whether it comes true. The people would be able to tell in 2 years if Hananiah's message was correct. And in fact, in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar would come back just a few years later. Remember, this was 593 when our text actually happens. 586, Nebuchadnezzar comes back and utterly destroyed the temple. And the people of Israel would not get any hint of returning to their land, to their capital city, to Jerusalem, to that destroyed temple until the Edict of Cyrus in 539 BC. They wouldn't make it there until 536. But the people that day wouldn't have to wait that long to find out if Hananiah's message was true. Not 70 years, not 60 years, not even 7 years. Because Jeremiah adds to his prophecy after our sermon text, and he says, Hananiah, within the year, the Lord is going to take your life. You're going to die. And it didn't take 2 months before Hananiah was dead. And so every person within 2 months would be able to tell that the prophecy of Jeremiah, not Hananiah, was the truth that came from God. And I guess the bottom line to all this is that when God delivers the word, that's the way it's going to be. And we're going to have to live with it because God says so. Our human side is going to argue against this because we don't always like what God has to say. And we don't always like being wrong every time we do argue against God. We don't like it any more than when parents tell children, "Can't do it because I said so." But why is the bottom line here, "because God said so"? It's because the Word of God is truth. That's what Jesus says. John 17, verse 17, Jesus prays to the Father, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Jesus says that the Scriptures are unbroken. We know from personal experience that the word of man is often lies, and that you can't trust what's in a man. Come on, how many examples of that do you have? That you can't trust what is the word of man. You don't have to walk 2 steps to figure that one out. So the Scriptures say in Numbers 23, verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act?" Rhetorical question, no. "Does he promise and not fulfill?" Again, expect the answer, absolutely not. "Because God said so" is an answer to so many questions that we may have. He has the benefit of being ultimately benevolent. In other words, God always knows what's best for us. Maybe you have things that have happened in your life. You didn't understand why God said so at the time. Maybe you've read things in the Scriptures. You didn't understand why God said so at the time. But now you look back and you can say without a doubt, "I know exactly why God said that thing." Look at 2020. I don't know if anyone can say exactly why all these things are happening, but if you and I look carefully at what God said so, what Jesus has to say about the end times, that's exactly what God said was going to happen. And we know exactly why, too, so that you and I will be ready for that day when he comes and returns and brings all those who believe with himself in heaven. That's right. "Because God said so" isn't a negative thing. Certainly not always. All the questions we have may not be negative questions, and because God says so may give us comfort and assurance. Just think about that. "Lord, do you have comfort and assurance for me?" Yes. Why? "Because I said so." "Are my sins forgiven?" Yes. "Because God says so." "Does faith alone save and not my works?" Yes. "Because God said so." "Will I be delivered from the power of the devil and hell?" Yes. "Because God said so." "Will I get to live forever with Jesus in heaven?" Yes, because God said so. How do I know this could all be true? Because God said so. God said that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem the sins of all the world, to redeem all sinners in the world. Jesus became human flesh and bones for you and for me. He was subjected to the law so that he could live under it, and he did so perfectly so that his life could be placed in exchange for yours and mine. This happened so that he could replace our record of wrongdoings for which he died, and his death is the atonement of all of our sins, the justification for us. The truth, because God says so. How do we know? Why do we believe it? How can we possibly tell someone else that this is the main message, that this is what God has for you and for me? Because God said so. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.